Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome again to our HITECH Annual Report Workgroup meeting, and a happy Friday afternoon. We've got our full team, Carolyn Peterson, Erin Marriott, our co-chairs, and Christina Caraballo and Brett Oliver. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Erin for a few opening remarks, and then we'll jump right in.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Lauren, and welcome everybody listening in on the call. I'm Erin Marriott. I'm one of the co-chairs here with my esteemed partner, Carolyn Peterson. Really appreciate you all joining us on a Friday afternoon. The work that the ONC team has done is phenomenal. We are very, very close to goal and ready to present to the full HITECH and start getting their full opinions as we prepare our final report. I do want to call attention to just the depth of topics and the importance this year, especially with COVID-19 and all the topics that are going on and how relevant all of this has been towards getting a really big handle on a lot of things going on. So a lot of credit to the ONC and HHS in general and their phenomenal partnership. Carolyn, anything you want to add?
No, just that I appreciate everyone coming in on a Friday afternoon when it's gorgeous out and a great time to be enjoying fall, and also to share that we'll be doing kind of a casual Friday approach to this meeting with some help reading documents aloud and discussing them. Kind of a little different than we usually do. But
that's right, Carolyn.
Mighty but effective.
I think we are a very effective team, so we're going to wing it today. Both Karen and I are in the middle of other meetings and through things, so the ONC team is going to help us read out what exactly we want to talk through and get the feedback from the team so we can incorporate that as ready for the HITECH. So thank you, Carolyn. All right, so in general, before we go into the crosswalk, which is the meat of today's meeting, I do want to call attention to that we have an upcoming HITECH in which we'll be reading through some of the dynamics and some of the questions and some of the topics. I think there's been a lot of great discussion, particularly in previous meetings around research, around privacy and security, and some of those items that are we know the industry is struggling to overcome. I do know, and I give a lot of credit again to the administration and to the Congress for really starting to try to tackle some of this stuff. But again, this team has a great opportunity to present, you know, things that are out there that we know are issues and barriers to care, and I just appreciate everybody. So, Carolyn, anything you want to add to that real quick?
No, I think we're good. Let's dive in.
All right, let's go into it. So the way this is going to work, I'm going to ask the ONC team or the Excel team, if they don't mind reading out loud what it is specifically they need our feedback on so we can finalize this draft, and that way we can just cut right to the chase of things. Michelle, would you be able to help us or one of your team?
Yes, we can do that.
Perfect. All right, let's go into it.
So this is Michelle Murray, by the way, Policy Analyst and Staff Lead at ONC. I'll be helping out our co-chairs today. The screen is much too small on their cell phones or other equipment, so I'm expanding it on my large screen and reading it for you. I may not read every single word because we've been over these several times and more highlight a few changes that ONC is requesting in the past week, so they're new to the work group. And you can give us feedback on if you think they're good changes, and if so, you know, what we might do to edit them further, expand on them further. So the first one's in the public health target area. So in the gap, the topic's about exchange clinical data for public health purposes. In the gap, we're asking to add the words and exchange. So it would say public health authorities face interoperability challenges to be able to collect and exchange information from clinicians and laboratories needed for proper reporting. So that's the first change we're asking for. The challenge would stay the same. That says need standardized codes, data, and terminology to document patient diagnosis, treatment, and reporting in clinical care across settings during pandemics. The opportunity, the first two elements would stay the same, improve interoperability between public health reporting systems and EHRs. The second one is accelerate use of data standards to improve situational awareness for federal, state, and local government emergency response. And the third one that ONC is wondering if we should add gets to the idea of adding exchange to this. We say exchange in the topic, but then we didn't quite follow through all the way through. So they're kind of just having us circle back. The third opportunity would say, explore an expanded role for health information exchanges, parentheses, HIEs, to support public health. And that leads us to the activities, which would all stay the same, but adding one that has not yet been determined. That's where we do need your feedback. We're doing some internal thinking, too, of what might be a good activity, circling back to some work that was done earlier this year on rolling out the STAR HIE program and the ideas that didn't quite make it into that final announcement and award might still be on the table. So we're looking into that and doing some research with our contractor. But we were wondering if there is an activity we would want to add to support exchange for public health. I'll turn back to the team for that.
That's a really good question. I'm curious what the group thinks here. And for me, I do think I'll give a lot of credit to CMS for recently changing the reimbursement around like COVID-19 testing, and turning around 2 days is $25 more at pop. I think those are great carrots and sticks to look at that, and that's really intelligent to begin to try to incentivize the industry to hurry up where we can. I do wish there was exchange of information tied to that kind of thing. So, you know, Michelle, I don't know how we would word that, but or the group. But to me, looking at the carrot and stick approach is a great idea to incentivize the industry to go along, but exchange should go along with financial penalties or reimbursement in this case. That's my two cents. I'm curious, Brett, Carolyn, Christina, what you all think.
I'm wondering if it would be helpful if we had maybe like a half-day session where some different public health agencies that are able to do some exchange or that have done some really focused work on the barriers to exchange, you know, and are able to say we need this and this and this to be able to meet these XYZ goals. Something like that to kind of put some real flesh and bones on the problem and also elucidate some things that are working, you know, what progress has been made despite the fact that public health is not really coordinated and wasn't kind of a part of the thinking when a lot of exchanges started building out their work.
That's a great thought.
Yeah, Carolyn, I really like that because I think there's so much variability in what, I mean, we're using the term HIE pretty generally, and whether, you know, it's the state of Indiana, the state of Kentucky, or the state of Tennessee, just as an example in my region, there's an incredible variability into what they can do technically, what they're already doing, what's on their roadmap. Just with electronic case requests, Aaron and I have talked about this before, but with electronic case requests, as an organization, we're ready. We've had it built for 6 weeks now for COVID, but my state HIE has some technical limitations now that they're working through. So understanding, as you had said, Carolyn, sort of what those barriers are, whether they're technical, operational because of, you know, contracts, et cetera, that I think that would be helpful to at least a starting point.
Well, and if there are some partial solutions or some solutions at small scale that are working for people, why not take a good hard look at those and maybe think about how to bring that to other places? Or I shouldn't use the S word standards, but, you know, kind of help move things forward in the sense of this is what's worked. Let's see how to scale it, or at least scale it regionally.
Those are really good points. Christina, what do you think?
Yeah, I think these are great additions. I'm surprised we left off the sharing or exchange. So I think that was a good catch on ONC's part. And I do think there are opportunities for health information exchanges to play a role. It would be interesting to see like what some are doing today and kind of look at, Brett was just saying that there are technical limitations in some states, and I think it's important to understand and note those so we can look at how we can scale these approaches. But I do think that these are really excellent additions. And I like Carolyn's idea of a listening session on this.
Yep, good points, great points. Michelle, is that clear for you?
Yes, that's exactly what we needed from you.
Perfect. All right.
Okay.
Next.
Question for the team. Do you want me to cover the items in red as well? Because that's text that was requested to be added from previous meetings, especially the last meeting. So it should reflect what you've already told me to add. I can go over those now if you want me to, or do you want me to just cover the ONC suggestions?
I would be a fan, and Carolyn, I defer to you as well, that let's cover the items that we know we need to cover today just from a time perspective, and then we can always come back if we need to.
Yeah, I think that's good.
All right, that means we would skip down to page 3, the interoperability target area. And the topic of EHRs, association between EHRs and patient safety. ONC was thinking of bringing back in suggestions that actually came from the FDA high-tech member and also came up in this group at one point about adding an activity to this about FDA involvement. But I'll go back over what the gap and challenge and opportunity are first. So the gap is impact of health IT on patient safety. The challenge is a well-designed, properly implemented, and responsibly used EHR can improve patient safety by better supporting clinical workflows and decision-making. However, EHRs can also pose new patient safety risks, including sharing incorrect data. The opportunity is to define factors that increase and decrease the safety of health IT that affect patient outcomes. And the activities, we have two already. One was review changes that could be made to the health IT certification program to support improvements to EHRs to support patient safety. The second one was suggest that ONC conduct an initiative to further define patient safety and any gaps where technology does not support that definition, then develop a roadmap for better health IT support for patient safety by 2023, which is very broad, obviously, so it covers a lot of things. The last one was more specific, and I literally kind of cut and pasted some wording from a transcript from February from our FDA liaison. It says, collaborate with the FDA to support the use of health IT in automating collection and sharing of data about adverse drug events. And I'll add that this one could be broadened if you wanted it to, and it could also include other kinds of technology. But that was kind of the wording I had as a starting point.
You were to broaden it, what were you thinking?
I was just wondering if we wanted to cover multiple kinds of technology or things beyond adverse drug events.
Adverse device events?
Are you saying that would be something you want to add?
Let me say that again. Adverse events related to devices as well as to drugs.
I'm not clear what the FDA person was suggesting, but yeah, that's a change we could make.
When I say devices, I'm thinking of implantable medical devices like pacemakers and defibrillators and other things that are in the body where you would want to know that there's a problem, but they're not drugs.
That's a good addition.
I think that's a good idea. I like that. And it also ties back, Carolyn, that's a smart move, because it also ties back to UPI and all the other components of the medical device that the FDA is concerned about. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to call biologics out separately because that, I think the reporting there is similar to drug events. But for devices in particular, the studies that investigate them are so small and there's so much less experience for them when they are approved or not approved, it would be really good to be able to capture those adverse events.
So I'm hearing that at least a couple of you are saying that you'd like the addition and might just expand the scope a little bit.
Yep. I think so.
Yep. I mean, let's roll.
Yep.
Any other comments on that one? If not, we can go to privacy and security on page 5. And beyond HIPAA, the second line item for that one, the consent subtopic. This one, the work group had updated somewhat last time, but I'll walk you through it. The gap is lack of clarity about the parameters of data sharing and disclosure and their implications for consent. The challenge is rules for consent have not been established for receivers of pushed / received data when they receive it. The opportunity is improved clarity around patient consent for research and exchange of their data and further patient understanding of the accuracy and validity of clinical information offered by third-party apps. And part of that sentence was updated last time by this group. So in the recommended activities, there are currently three. I don't see suggesting inserting one kind of in the middle of the two that already existed. So I'll read the first one that it already existed. Identify educational approaches and potential regulatory solutions that offer improved transparency of privacy protections outside the purview of HIPAA. I skipped down to the third one that already existed. Explore ways clinicians can educate patients about the benefits and potential risks of using third-party apps as contemplated by the ONC Cures Act final rule and about the need to review and comprehend the app's privacy policies. So the item that ONC was suggesting we add says, suggest steps toward a consistent technical approach to capturing and managing consent. So the idea here was that our leadership thought there was maybe missing a broad activity about a broad framework for managing consent, because the other two kind of dive into some details.
So I guess the assumption is that they have to get consent. That's what the addition is not saying, but saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's saying that you have to get consent. Certainly, when you get consent, how do you manage it? How do you capture it and manage it? I mean, if we have to clarify, if we get consent, we can do that as well.
From a patient perspective, this seems like a good idea. If it's more consistent than, I mean, even in language. So you've got the technical approach to capture and manage, but it also could be just like what is presented to patients when they go out to fill out a consent form. It could, if it's more streamlined, then it could make it so patients better understand what they're signing and the differences between different apps.
Would we want to change it, Christina, to say suggest steps towards a consistent technical and operational approach to capturing and managing consent?
Is operational the right word? I don't know.
How you're going to approach it with the patient.
Yeah.
But yeah, open. I just add something there to take in what you're saying.
I support that.
Yeah, I don't care about the wordsmithing. If someone's got a better suggestion there, I was just trying to simplify it.
Sounds good.
No, I think it's a good suggestion, Brett. I like it.
Me too.
Okay, so I'm hearing that you like this addition of a activity, and you're adding a little bit of phrasing to it, technical and operational approach.
Yeah, Michelle, if you have a better suggestion, I mean, what I think we're trying to say is just when a patient sees, you know, this standard wording, they kind of, you know, they get used to that. It's muscle memory. It's not something new each time that they're reading through trying to understand. I'm assuming we're doing that from an operational side, and then from the technical side, it would happen that they would get that collected the same way.
Yeah, I think operational is fine to add, especially because the high tech would just be, in this case, suggesting steps toward getting to the framework or approach and not necessarily getting into the weeds of how it gets operationalized.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else on that one?
Yeah, I don't know if it's taking it too far to consider the user experience. It might be too much, but maybe something to think about.
So you're saying maybe add a phrase, like a comment at the end, saying, while considering the user experience?
That would work. Perfect.
Okay, good. Can do that. All right. So anything more on this topic? Okay. If not, I'll go to the next one. Right below it, there was one. I think there's only one more maybe after this one. Right. So we're on the fourth of five suggestions. This one, again, is beyond HIPAA. This time's Internet of Things subtopic. And once you had a general comment to say, like specify the scope a little more about Internet of Things. It's not everything about all devices on the Internet of Things, but it's those that collect health-related data. So that shows up in three spots, or four spots, actually. So that's really the thing that's changing. It's not like a major change. It's more a wording change to fix the scope. So let me know if you want me to read this one through in detail, because I can.
Yeah, that makes total sense, just for clarity.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty straightforward. All right, so we can go to the last one that we need to review. It's in the patient access section on page 6, the first row. So the topic is general right now, patient-controlled data collection, access, and sharing, and it's one that carried over from last year. The specific gap is safety of mobile health applications. The challenge is safety and effectiveness concerns with consumer-facing mobile health applications. The opportunity stays the same also, provide reliable information about the quality of apps to enable clinicians to advise patients about app use and to empower patients when using apps to make decisions about their care. And then in activities, the first one, the group did alter it some at the last meeting. I'll read it for you. Support the existing efforts of consortia that are working to vet apps based on their safety and accessibility and educate patients about the findings of the consortia. In particular, investigate if frameworks or scorecards for assessing apps exist or are being developed. If so, raise awareness of these efforts. The second one is the same as before. Explore ways the safety of mobile health applications could be enhanced. And the idea that ONC was adding was another kind of broad idea, so you have to tell me if you think it fits here or needs to be developed in a different way. It is, hold a listening session on impact of use of apps as opposed to the current portal systems on patient challenges in collecting, accessing, and sharing their health data. So it's talking about apps, which fit in this line item, but it goes broader than that. It goes beyond the safety concern and talks about the experience too, or could, about does the use of more apps change how patients are interacting with their health data, and how does that compare to portal systems?
I like that. This is Aaron. I like that a lot because it actually ties back nicely with our health equity discussions we had earlier and other topics, and it is about experience, right, in all dimensions. So I think that's a great addition, in my opinion.
I think it's a great addition as well. Good job.
I'm trying to think if we need to add a little bit more text in it to make it more specific in some way. Because when we talk about the impact of use of apps, then you get into all sorts of questions that impact what that means, but aren't necessarily things we can fix, like operating system versus another operating system versus different versions, if you're on an older one versus a newer one, versus a phone with different features, and including security versus what sort of security, firewall, et cetera, protection you've got. Sometimes that impacts things, versus a private, internally developed app that's not like an app developed by a healthcare organization that you use just to access your records or certain interactions you have with that organization, as opposed to something that's broader, like a fitness kind of app or something. It just seems like there's so many different kinds of apps with so many different potential regulatory stuff wrapped around them or governing them. And so many different ways that you can implement apps depending on your devices and your needs and what kind of broadband you have and stuff. I'm just trying to think of a way to make it a little more specific to something that you could actually manage rather than just having like a day where you have lots of good presentations, but they don't tie together because they're not really all unified by certain ground rules or guardrails?
It's almost like a scorecard to kind of rank them or talk through different dimensions.
Well, I'm just thinking, do we want to talk about this in a way that makes it like platform agnostic, something about apps that gets away from looking at the platforms or HIPAA versus non-HIPAA covered or something to make it a little more manageable for ONC? Because when you think about it, this is just as broad.
It's
hard to get to something useful that you can actually act on.
Yeah, no, that's a really good thought. Because, Michelle, I think the intent is to look at functionality, right? Does this actually match what the patient consumer is looking for, right, from a healthcare IT app? Is that right?
I think it really is as broad as it says, and I think we're asking if there's a certain area we should focus on. That's where we're gathering your input.
Right. And I think what Carolyn's saying, which makes a lot of sense, is try to, like, bucketize the different dimensions to assess an app and then go from there, which makes sense to me because then it's, like, actionable. Like, oh, security of apps, I'm making this up, is the biggest concern of people or whatever it may be. So I like the suggestion, and I think Carolyn's suggestion makes sense. It actually makes it logical.
I would suggest you don't need to decide now exactly how you'd scope it, but we might need to add a phrase that says something about ideas for how you might scope it.
Yeah, I'm good with that. It gives some precision to it, which I think, again, Carol, I'm speaking for you here, so please speak up, but I think that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, just some way to help tighten it a little bit so we don't wind up with a soup to nuts kind of panel sessions that are very informative but don't move us at all towards making decisions or advising on a particular kind of issue or topic or something. That's all. But you're right, we don't have to decide that today. We can just keep churning that in our heads, and perhaps we can even ask for feedback about this at the HITECH meeting. What do people really want to dive into in terms of efficacy of apps and experience around apps, challenges, and, you know, what do you care about? Do you care about security? Do you care about consent around data sharing and use? Is it a connectivity problem? Is it interoperability with certain EHRs or portals? You know, what sticking points do you want to work on in the immediate future?
I think that's a good approach. We do have time on the activities to further develop them. We don't have a meeting scheduled, but there is time to still flesh this out for the November HITECH meeting. For the October meeting, you're just presenting so far the topics, gaps, challenges, and opportunities.
On this one, reading it again, I'm wondering if we shouldn't add using their data. So you've got collecting, accessing and sharing, but it's also how a patient's going to interact with that data. So adding using throughout. Thought.
Yeah, I've captured that for you. Does the group agree with Christina?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think it is good.
No, I agree.
Okay. Anything else on this topic area? I did notice one thing as you were all talking in the gap, because I was thinking the gap wording was maybe a little too narrow for adding this recommendation. If we say safety, the gap would be the safety and impact of mobile health applications. That might be broader, or it could be effectiveness, because we use effectiveness in the challenge.
I like that suggestion. Adding impact.
Okay. All right, any other thoughts on this topic?
I think it's good. I think we need to marinate a little bit more, but I mean, I think it's good.
So those are all the ONC suggestions. Let me know if there's anything else you want to circle back to that you need me to read in this list. I think you were all talking about wanting to tackle the proposed tiers at this meeting as well.
Yeah, we can't avoid the tiering forever.
No, I definitely don't want to avoid it. I think it's an important topic. We can absolutely do it, Michelle. Let's do it.
Don't all be enthusiastic at once.
So I think we need to jump back to the top of the document. I'll just help walk you through it a little bit more than I usually would, since you're having visibility issues. Okay. And this is where I would summarize and not try to read everything again for you. But so we have the first topic was exchange of clinical data for public health purposes. We walked through this one together today already. Right now we have a TBD in the proposed tier column, and I'll remind you of it's on the last page. We already did talk through as a group the proposed legend for this current report. The immediate would be the years 2021 through 2022, calendar years or fiscal years, I guess. I think they're fiscal years. We need to. Well, okay, I will say that's problematic, actually, because the report is FY20. I think the years are more likely calendar years because that's what the high tech has been following for their work plans. So I think we'd assume calendar years for the immediate and longer term time periods. So immediate is 2021 to 2022, and longer term is 2023 through 2026 and after, beyond, if there are any that go beyond. And I'll add, too, that ONC is planning to present soon, hopefully October's meeting next week, to the high tech the objectives and benchmarks, you know, updated for the next set of fiscal years, which is 2021 to 2022. So there's some overlap there, which when we get to the drafting stage, we can sync that up a little bit more if we need to. So we are kind of ahead compared to last year of that step. Usually we've seen that work in what ONC is thinking. So that's one reason I think you're hesitating, is that we were sort of reacting as a work group last year to that work already having been established. But I will sort of give a sneak peek that they're similar to the previous year, so that I wouldn't say that that's going to have a big impact on that this time around.
Well, I think at least the first couple, which is what I can see, are probably immediate, just because the COVID isn't going anywhere anytime soon, and probably this kind of, if we could make some real impact in these areas, that would help the COVID situation overall, and it would position us to be better able to respond to some of the long-term problems associated with COVID that we're just now learning about.
I agree. All three of these on here, the screen now, would be immediate.
Yeah. It's there, and I agree.
I think the fact that we brought on this as a new target area because it was important kind of supports the immediate tiering.
Okay. So that covers so far the exchange of clinical data, privacy and security, vaccine tracking, and then there's two more public health ones or topics on the next page.
International exchange might be a later, but I think patient matching is probably immediate also because it's hard to be fully effective with the other three if you don't have patient matching.
I completely agree. I think patient matching is critical. I think it's absolutely urgent, and we're running into it. I can tell you a real-world story here. We're absolutely running into this issue here in Austin, so needed yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. It goes with the patient safety piece, too. I almost brought it up there.
Yep, I agree as well. Immediate for patient matching and long-term for international.
Okay. So I'm hearing immediate for everything except the international exchange, and that would be longer term.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a bit of a misnomer, right? But I mean, like, because it is important. It's, like, super important, but, like, what's more important? Like, what's 1A? Like, patient matching wins over international.
And I recall from last year that we differentiated between importance and timing and said that this group was comfortable suggesting timing of something when something would start for the HITACH to do their activities, getting at sort of the urgency issue. But then we weren't making a call on whether it's important or not important or what needed to be sequenced when. Anything else on the public health target area? Hearing? Anyway. If not, we can go to the interoperability on page 3. There's 4 on this page, and then 2 more on the next page. So the ones on this page are exchange of health data more broadly across the care continuum, association between EHRs and patient safety, exchange of social determinants of health data, and increased health equity across populations, locations, and situations. And we don't actually have to do them in order either. If some jump out at you quickly, we can go to those first if you want, as long as we cover all of them.
Page is a little tougher.
That's why I'm letting you go first, Christina. Well, I think the exchange of health data more broadly across the care continuum is probably going to be more critical in the immediate term because with COVID, you have certain points in the care continuum that are more impacted than other points, like the long-term care situation, people in assisted living going into acute ICU care and having to go someplace else, and that information about infections and test results and long-term effects, needing to follow people, depending on what we see with pediatric events when we have large numbers of children infected, we may see more of those special conditions that seem to develop in children. And of course, there's a lifetime impact of that and a need to track that information lifetime. So I'm thinking at least the first one probably needs to be immediate just because of all the COVID-related stuff around that.
Looking at these as you're reading them, I would agree with the first one being immediate.
Ditto.
I'm in agreement too.
Knowing that we can't make all of these immediate, the second, I'm leaning towards long term. And for those who can't see, that's the association between EHRs and patient safety.
I think that's fair, although patient safety is very important. We don't want to in any which
I
way
know.
Suggest not. But in terms of like 1A and 1B again, I agree with you. Totally agree with you.
And I'm also looking at the recommended activities under this.
I like that being 1B simply because if this few can improve the interoperability of the data exchange, I'd like to see how that impacts patient safety in and of itself versus going at it as a separate issue. So allowing just a little bit of time between those two might make sense.
So one thing I guess I have a question for you, Michelle. If there's an activity through these that, like these are chunks and some of them have a couple recommended activities under them, if we see something that might be an activity that we think should be a higher priority, but maybe we don't want to do the whole clump, that might be something to consider as we think through these.
Right. I think we could assign a tier to a specific activity if you prefer. I don't think that's come up before, but we definitely could still do it if we need to.
I think that's a fair suggestion. That's good.
Yep. So within the patient safety item, are we splitting out so far any difference from longer term? Any items that would be different from longer term?
I'm going to default to Brett and Aaron on that.
I don't know, it's difficult.
Yeah, Michelle, I haven't looked at it. I'm sorry. I need to be able to look at it and tell you that. I don't know.
Okay. So we'll just flag this one as it could change, but at the moment it's marked as longer term, just as a straw man.
I agree. I think it's one of those we should come back to and look at it a little bit more in depth, like maybe offline and just email back our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Can do that.
Okay. So next one was social determinants of health. The one activity was update the ONC playbook on patient engagement. And the next was convene a group of stakeholders across many entities to understand the state of SDOH data exchange and identify gaps and barriers.
I'm leaning towards putting this on the immediate, at least the second proposed recommendation. The convening of a group of stakeholders.
And then make the playbook.
I think there's
sort of a 1B, Christina.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick, obviously, I feel strongly about social determinants of health, but I do think that the second one is definitely more immediate. I think so many organizations are really starting to look at social determinants of health. We're seeing acceleration in the standards world around it and a ton of attention. So I think that second one is really, really important.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and there's nothing to say that we can't have a different tier for different activities within a particular line item.
I think this is one of those that maybe we put it as immediate, and then after we go through this whole grid, if we've got too many immediate, then we do a second round to see if some of the proposed activities should be tightened up.
That's an option.
Like if we need to tier activities.
Yeah, that could be helpful.
So any objections on this? One being immediate?
No, none. No. I do think also we could probably also do that if we have too many immediates. It's another like look over email and like respond back, right? And we coalesce our thoughts.
Okay. Do we want to talk about health equity?
I'm really big on health equity. I think it's important, but I don't think it's immediate. It's important, but I mean, we've got to get functionality out there first before we know what to level in terms of making an even playing field. That's my two cents.
I'm comfortable with that. I feel like if everything wasn't important, we wouldn't have put it on the list and we wouldn't be making proposed activity recommendations around it. But still, we can't rate everything as being immediate.
Yeah, I agree. It pains me, but I 100% agree.
Okay, so I'm hearing longer term for health equity, for now at least.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we could probably go to the next page. We have two more under interoperability. They're both about research. First was an overarching topic about research generally, and the second one was the metadata subtopic. And let me know if you need to read anything to you. I will maybe read the activities just because we were getting granular about those. So for research overall. Okay, we're scrolled over. The first one says, hold listening sessions to learn more about gaps and standards needed by the research community, which is accountable to institutional review boards. The second was, identify educational approaches that increase awareness and promote the implementation of the National Health IT Priorities for Research. So that's the research agenda document that just came out. Then on the metadata, the activity was charge a task force to review and provide recommendations.
Did anyone else
lose audio? No? I hear you.
It comes and goes a little bit, but I can still hear.
Okay, so I was reading you the metadata activity. Charge a task force to review and provide recommendations regarding metadata standards and potential additions to the U.S. CDI.
That was my first. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
That seems like a longer term thing to me.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, it's important, just like the previous item, but it's not critical. I mean, it's important, but it's like a 1B.
Hey, everyone. I dropped. I'm back, but where are we? My phone tends to drop on these calls. I don't know why. It's kicking me off.
Christina, we just said describe the activities, and then Carolyn and Erin were just saying they think it's research is longer term, and I was about to ask, do you mean for both the topic and the subtopic, or one versus the other?
Sounds good. I agree that this one is longer term.
Michelle, I'm wondering, do you think there's fruit and value in us getting back to you by like next Monday or Tuesday or first half of next week, our thoughts, and we coalescing that? So it gives us some time like to think about some of this prioritization. Is there value in that, or should we do this right now line by line? What's helpful to you guys? Because I know you put so much work into helping us.
Yeah, I don't want to postpone it again. I think we need to plow on.
Okay, let's do it.
I think it gets harder from here to actually gather your feedback because people's schedules are super busy between October and November, and we don't have any more meetings planned till after the November high-tech meeting.
Got it.
So,
let's do it.
Kind of out of time.
Let's do it.
No, you're doing great, by the way. I'll give you encouragement, and I'm being a nag just so I can make sure I capture what you want accurately, and we don't have to come back again. So I'm trying to make this less painful for you, but it means I have to nag you a little bit right now.
Carrots and sticks.
Karen's point, maybe we go through this and get initial reactions, and then once this is filled out with tiers, we can all, via email, just take the time to read through it and make sure we're comfortable.
I think that would be great.
So round one.
Okay, so you're down to privacy and security now, page 5. So there's beyond HIPAA, 3 topics there. One is rules for sharing. The other is consent. And then there's Internet of Things. And then the last one on that page is synthetic data. And that's everything for privacy and security. You just have 4 items.
I guess as much as I dearly love and value privacy, I'm definitely thinking synthetic data needs to be longer term.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You're exactly right. Synthetic data is a longer term. It's important, again, but not critical.
And part of the thing with data outside the HIPAA framework, I mean, I feel like we all have a pretty good sense of what that means and what data are affected. And I'm not sure that there's that much that health IT can do about that without some kind of change in the law, which makes me wonder if we should make this one also a longer-term thing, because there's certainly been discussion about updating HIPAA and some other statutes that would make changes, you know, it would affect that. I'm not sure what we can actually do to address what we know is a problem.
And I'll remind you, some of the activities were listening sessions, doing some research on patient and clinician experiences with third-party apps, and reviewing government and industry activities. That's for the rules for sharing. The consent was identified educational approaches and potential regulatory solutions, suggest steps toward the approach for managing consent, and then explore ways clinicians could educate patients. Remember, some of these things are exploratory. They could start sooner to get you to where you want to go longer term.
I feel like the first one on that list, the first line item, is probably a longer term item. The second line item, you know, in terms of identifying potential regulatory solutions, that would be helpful in the immediate realm, because if you don't get started on identifying and thinking about those things, you can't get to action down the road. And then best practices around privacy and security, have those not been identified already? I mean, is that really a completely new thing, or is it sort of an ongoing thing that changes with technology and is a longer-term activity that we're always doing in the background, as opposed to something that we bring forward to do once and then move on?
And that one might have been about Internet of Things. Is that where you're looking?
The third line item.
Third topic was Internet of
third,
Things.
Yeah, IoT.
Yeah. So I think you're right, that activity tends to be general and one that's ongoing, but this one was going to be focused on Internet of Things, which might be newer. I don't know if that changes your thinking at all.
I want to hear what somebody else thinks.
To me, that makes sense, Carolyn. I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to pull it up my phone, but I think that makes sense from what I heard and what I'm understanding.
So what I have so far is longer term for everything, but calling out the regulatory solutions idea for the consent topic, making that more immediate. Is that what people are saying?
That's all I'm saying.
go back the other way. Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to say anything more about this one or move on?
Let's move on. We can add any comments if we have any, if anything comes to mind when we review the first round of tiering.
Okay. So now we're at patient access to information. There's only two topics. One is the patient control data for collection, access, use, and sharing. And specifically, we're talking about a gap of the safety and impact of mobile health applications. And then the second one was correction of incorrect data and the ramifications of exchange of incorrect data.
Both, to me, are critical, especially given the public health issue right now.
Yeah, I would agree they're critical in addition to the public health piece, just with the interoperability, information blocking rules that are changing, figuring, you know, going to be pushing more data around how you correct things that are incorrect downstream, or at least setting up some standards is critical.
I agree.
I would agree as well.
So are we saying immediate for both?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Great. So you're through it. That wasn't so bad, was it?
No, and thank you so much for helping us with technology challenges. Appreciate you, Michelle.
Right. Absolutely.
It wouldn't be IT if there weren't technology challenges on a Friday afternoon, so thank you for your help.
Oh, you're right about that. Okay, so we've completed our crosswalk, filling in every cell. I'll have a few minor, very minor updates for you to review, and we can do something more through email to confirm or continue debating a few of these. We have a presentation by the co-chairs next Wednesday. There's a half-hour time period for that. So you'll get to present the topics, gaps, challenges, opportunities. But we're not proposing activities yet. That will wait till November, and you'll have a few minutes to gather any feedback on that information. And we're just presenting the slide deck at that point. We'll wait until November to present the actual crosswalk document and share that in a written form rather than a slide deck form. And we have one meeting in November for the work group, but none before then. So the next meeting is November 19th. We also have a meeting in December to start looking over outlines and drafts at the November and December meetings.
Cool.
Yeah, good. Thank you all.
Oh, we have public comment.
Oh, yes, public comment, yes. Go for it.
Thanks. We'll just get the phone number pulled up, and then we'll ask the operator to open the public line, please.
And if you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
All right, we're just going to poll to see if we have any comments in the queue at this time.
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. Carolyn and Erin, anything else before we wrap up?
I don't. I really appreciate everybody, and thank you for the ad hoc nature of this meeting. this is a good experiment of how we could both, Carolyn and I both have technology challenges on the same day, so can we wing it? We did a great job. Thank you for that. Michelle, I hope you got the answers that you needed, and I look forward to the next meeting.
Ditto
yes,
here.
Thank you, everyone.
Ditto here. I appreciate all the great work and helping us do this kind of in the improv mode. And I think we've made good progress.
Yes, we do. And thank you. And thank you again, ONC team. You guys rock. All of you. Appreciate you.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone. We'll adjourn, and we'll talk to the co-chair shortly.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.